Blog Talk Radio.
Believe.
Good morning, good morning, and I say good day to all who have an ear to hear. It is yet another new day. It is a new day, another day in which we have to come forth and create our possibilities and create our opportunities to move forward in life as the non-physical aspect of who we are wants to express itself through us so that we may live a life through the eye of the source, of source. This is a day that I have never seen before. I have never seen before. Maybe I have experienced some of it, but I have never seen such a day as this. And I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to do this just again, today. I'm glad, I'm hopeful that I have another opportunity to do this again today with a sense of newness and a sense of freshness in my mind, in my body, and in my soul. So here we are, here we are. I want to give thanks to all of the ancestors and the elements of life, four corners of the earth, archangels and angels, ascended masters and descended masters as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being in this space and time with me as I go forth to speak. I consider my truth. I consider my truth. For we are one. Because we are. So here we are. Today is the 18th. 1 + 8 = 9. So in the tree of life, we're dealing with, if you're coming from the Kabbalah perspective, we're dealing with Yesod. Or if you're coming from the tree of life, from the Kemetic, we're talking about Aset. 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 Give me a moment here. Aset speaks about the importance of spiritual cultivation and how we should be promoted to our, not promoted, that is not the word I want to use, focused on the importance of our spiritual cultivation. Whether you believe it or not, and whether you think it or not, we're all on a spiritual journey. This life and living life in the flesh brings about a spiritual journey. This is why we're here in the flesh, so that we can have this spiritual journey. Now, this spiritual journey, yes, it's going to lead to more and more spiritual cultivation, the cultivation of your spirituality consists of the atmosphere around you. I think I spoke about that in regards to that in another show of mine where I basically said that it is the Merkabah. You're bringing the Merkabah, the light body, into being, because that's what it wants to do. It wants to unfold. This is why we are born again on a day-to-day basis. We are born again on a day-to-day basis. Nothing stays the same, yet everything is the same. But we're always evolving into that which the soul, the non-physical aspect of us, wants to express, however it wants to express itself. And I don't place any conditions on however it wants to express itself. I leave that up to the individual. But nevertheless, like I spoke on my show yesterday, we spoke about the contrast on it, the clarity of the tree of good and evil, and the tree of good, the tree of life. While the tree of life gives us life so that we may be the life for the others, there's another tree that is behind us that is always kicking up drama. And it's so oftentimes it's hidden. Sometimes we can become so aware, we think we are so aware of things, but keep living in the flesh, you're soon to draw into your life. You have to have contrast in your life. Otherwise, how else are you going to know the things that you want and the things that you don't want? And in the wanting, you gain clarity. That is where the tree of life steps in. Now, I also spoke about how there were two serpents. If there was a serpent in the tree of good and evil, surely there has to be a serpent in the tree of life. Now, this serpent in the tree of life, they call it the Kundalini. I'm not going to go into that. They call it the Kundalini. But in the tree of good and evil, they just call it a serpent. They haven't even given it But while this serpent doesn't have a name, or I'm not giving it a name yet because I haven't researched that, the depthness of that. And some people will call him Lucifer, Satan, the Satan. Oh, well, you can't have the negative without the positive. You can't have positive without the negative. You can't have light, can't have death without life. I think King Solomon speaks of these things in Ecclesiastes, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think I'm mistaken. But he speaks of these things. You know, it's the cause and effect of things. He's basically laying down a principle, a universal principle, or a plane of some sort. He's laying it down. He's saying, for this cause, this must happen. For every action, there's a reaction. For every reaction, there's an action. And it goes on and on and on and on, until it reaches a place where it doesn't need to exist anymore, because there's nothing else that needs to be learned or taught. There's nothing else that needs to be stated. The tree of life never places conditions on things. You know how we place conditions on people dying? You know, death is death. But, you know, because of the tree of good and evil, we have a tendency of placing conditions on things, and we're saying it's this and it's that, and it's not a death, it's a suicidal death, and it's this. No, it's just death. Who are we to say, or who are we to place conditions on how a person decides to leave this life, to resign from this life? Who are we to say anything about the past lives of any individual? We don't know that. That's why it's so important to stay focused on the alignment of your own spirituality, the non-physical aspect of who you are. That is why it is imperative that you always remain inside with you. Involution, I believe that's called. Stay involved in you. Establish a steady, stable, and high momentum before you leave your house. How do you do that? You do it with prayer. Or as I said yesterday, if you don't believe in prayer, talk to yourself. You do it with affirmations. You do it with contemplation, positive thinking. And I'm going to say something about positive thinking Pastor, think it is nothing more than trying to modify your behavior. But it's always important to find out why the behavior is in that place anyway. Why is it there? Why does it even exist? Because at the end of the day, if we look at both of these trees, there are seeds. So in these behaviors that we may have, or that we may be experiencing, we have to ask ourselves, where is the seed that has brought about the fruit of this behavior? And in doing that, you have to be honest, open, and willing to know the truth of thyself. Let me say this again. You have to be. It is imperative. Matter of fact, it is a prerequisite to knowing thyself. You have to be honest, open, and willing to know thyself. In knowing thyself, it may be that you must know the darkness of who you are before you get to the light. And people don't want to do that. They don't want to face the darkness of who they are, or they don't want to face the wounds of their own soul. Yet they want to talk about everybody else's wounds and how everybody else is not doing what they need to do, be it person, place, thing, or idea. That's what we do when we want to distract ourselves from really the darkness of who we are, the wounds of our own soul. We go forth outside of ourselves and we look at other individuals and we judge them based on their circumstances and conditions. We judge them, but we don't do it mentally. Or should I say, we don't do it intuitively, because that's a righteous judgment. There is a righteous judgment. But usually when the righteous has judged someone, he does not or she does not speak of a thing. She usually prays, meditates, or contemplates. Because this war is a spiritual war. It's not a carnal war. Therefore, you can't fight it with carnality. You have to challenge it. I want to scratch that word, fight. You have to challenge it with prayer, contemplation, meditation, the spiritual things that are derived from the tree of life. And then the tree of life, these faculties within the tree of life, one of them that I speak on today is yesod, or aset. That is the truth of who we are. That is the bottom line of who we are. Now, you might have to go through some things just to get to the bottom line, but go through them. You'll have spiritual strength to get through them. But I say once again, and I have to repeat this over and over again, you have to be willing. You have to be honest, open, and willing to go the distance, to press in to your higher consciousness, to press in to the non-physical aspect of who you are. You have to be willing to press in. There's a story, and as a matter of fact, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I wrote a play some time ago called Naked and Not Ashamed. And the first scene of this play was based on the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. Now, this woman had this issue for a very, very long time. I want to say, well, the Bible says I don't even know. I don't know the numbers, but I do know that she had it for a very long time. Sometimes I get it confused with the woman with the infirmities. I don't know why 38 keeps popping up. Anyway, she had this issue for a very, very long time. And because she had this issue, everybody knew about it. Everybody talked about it. Not only that, she was shunned from the public eye. She was hidden away from society because she was considered a dirty woman, filthy, with this issue of blood. Now, I'm pretty sure they also say that whenever a woman is in her season of purging, her body is purging, she is considered unclean. I guess that's where they got that from. She was considered unclean. But one day, she heard that Yeshua was coming through the village. And when she heard this, she said within herself, now get this, I want you to get this. She said within herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, if I but only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, she didn't go outside of herself and ask people, what you think about me touching Yeshua's garment? What you think about that? What is your take on that? What is your opinion? See, we always go outside of ourselves seeking the approval and the opinions of others to give us some kind of validation. But no one outside of you can give you validation. No one validates you. You're the only one that validates you. That is your authority. And that is the royalty of who you are, that you give yourself the validation. But in the story, Yeshua comes through the village, and she comes out after so long of being tucked away and hidden away from society. She finally comes out. No one sees her because the crowd is everywhere. They're everywhere. Everybody is trying to get to him. But she manages to press. Get it? Get my word. I said she pressed her way through the crowd. Now, I'm going to bring this up. When she was pressing her way through this crowd, don't think that the crowd was separate from who she is. The crowd is just a representation of the emotional issues that she has been challenged with or struggling with or going through. But she took her way through that crowd and she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. She touched the non-physical aspect of who she was. And in doing that, she connected with the non-physical aspect of who Yeshua was. And they call that faith. They call it faith. And in that moment, at that time, in that space, she was made whole. The bleeding ceased to exist. That's what you call faith, my people. If you don't have faith, and you don't put that faith in action, it's not going to work. Faith is dead without works. That's why you have to put it in action. That's why it is good that you put it in action. So, I say to you, I say to all, continue to press your way. Let me go back. I say to you, but we say to you all, because it's never I that speak, it is the Elohim that speak through me. We say, continue to press forward. Continue to press forward. Monitor, and challenge every emotion that you have so that you, too, may be made whole. And with that, I say to you, my friends, comrades, constituents, however you want to fit in my life, be well, and I say namaste, namaste, namaste.